Hi, you've reached the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Liz.
And Matt.
And the Rams got pantsed on Monday night.
Ooh, hate to see it. Thursday is Turkey Day. We'll take you through the three-course meal.
Three courses, and we'll preview the rest of the Week 13 Sunday slate.
That's it. Go listen.
Hello, and welcome to a Thanksgiving edition of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Liz Loza. We've got Matt Harmon, Raghu, Brett, the whole gang here. A little early, we're recording on Tuesday, so we're going to do something we don't normally do, which is recap the Monday night game, especially since it was here in Los Angeles. Wasn't favorable for the Rams, though. I got trounced by the Ravens.
Liz, you're starting off a little, you're in the NPR host voice this morning. I mean, sometimes blowouts are not fun to watch. Like, I would say the 49ers blowing out the Packers, even as a lifelong fan, that was not like a fun or entertaining endeavor to watch. But watching the Ravens like completely do whatever they want. I mean, I said it last night. It looked like the two of them were playing like different sports. And it's just crazy to think where these two teams were like a year and a half ago at this point. You know, Joe Flacco is starting for the Ravens and the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL. And now we're here.
Well, it feels like, at least excitement-wise, definitely not scheme-wise, but excitement-wise, the Ravens are the Rams of last year or maybe the year before.
Yeah, intrigue, and in terms of like a team that's totally revamped itself.
Hard to figure out on a week-to-week basis. Even though you know, I think what's interesting about the Ravens is you know what they want to do, and yet nobody's been able to stop them from doing it.
And they're getting better. I mean, like they've obliterated the last four teams that they've played. They've played like good quarterbacks. They've played good teams. They've played the Patriots. They've played the Texans. They've played the Seahawks. And, you know, they just keep barreling over these teams. Obviously, the Bengals stuck in there too. And now the Rams. And it was funny watching, like, you know, everybody knew that at some point Lamar is going to get pulled. We're going to see RG3, whatever. And then, like, that's when I think the conversation, at least in my head, started flipping to, oh man, this is really embarrassing for the Rams. And where do they go from here? You know,
well, most immediately, I think both of these teams have very big tests in a weird way, because the Rams would have a softer cupcake matchup against the Cardinals, though it's in the same division, so they have to must-win spot. I think every single game for the Rams is a must-win spot, and then, of course, there are those football heads are going to say that every game is a must-win game, so that's cool too. Whereas the Ravens are getting, I think, a real test, maybe their biggest since the Patriots, in the 49ers and that ferocious D-line that certainly took away any explosiveness that Aaron Rodgers tried to put up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that this is, it's the best defense and the best offense in the NFL right now, because you can't dispute it. I think the Ravens are the best offense in the NFL. Scoring on over 50% of their drives, which is just an absurd number.
And if there was a competitor to the best defense from the 49ers, it would be the Patriots. And we already know what the Ravens were able to do to them.
And the Patriots, I think, have more of like a defined
traditional defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you look at just like speed and athleticism, I think the 49ers have the edge there, because the Patriots, even while they're very sound, they're very disciplined, they're obviously very good assignment wise, and you know, they're on top of their stuff. I would say that the 49ers are the more athletic, swarming. Like, that was the thing. Almost, it's just two primetime games in a row, but the Ravens offense over the Rams defense was almost just as, I would say that the 49ers versus the Packers offense was just as much of a mismatch in terms of speed, athleticism, and everything that was going on there. I mean, they absolutely swarmed Aaron Rodgers, and Lamar Jackson's a different animal, but still, it's two teams coming in with a ton of momentum on that side of the ball. Which unit do you give the edge to off the top of your head?
I think I have to give it to the Ravens, because while the centerpiece, right, or of the 49ers squad is going to be their defense, they have an acceptable, especially when George Kittle is playing, even with a broken bone in his ankle, offense, and they can keep pace. But I also think that the Ravens defense is so damn balanced, it's going to be hard to stop them. And when I look at the Ravens offense, I believe it to be better than the 49ers defense. So I just think overall, the better squad on balance and explosiveness is the Ravens.
On the Cardinals and Rams matchup, by the way, I think the Rams are only a 3-point road favorite, which is right now, which is wild.
Well, that's because of, partially at least, because of Goff's home road splits.
And the Cardinals might be they might be the better team right now. Maybe that's just total recency bias. I think if the Rams can get on a script like we saw them against the Bears, you know, where they're running the ball well with power and they're able to maintain. I mean, they're essentially a team that wants to hide their quarterback right now, where I think the Cardinals are a team that wants to accentuate what their quarterback does.
I also think if we're going to talk fantasy for a second, I mean, Gerald Everett last week was banged up. So you understand why he only has a catch, right? Kyle Fuller was all over him while he was in the game, too. And he didn't have like a massive snap count this week. 2 catches. Yeah, he converted both of his targets, but that's not what you want to see, especially when Tyler Higbee is drawing 6 looks and on the field for, I think, upwards of 70% of the team snaps. So from a fantasy perspective, you know that people are going to start chasing Higbee, whether it's because Everett isn't fully healthy. Though, again, it's hard to hear of anybody having an ankle injury and being limited when you see what George Kittle was able to do.
Kittle, not a full human entity,
true. And I am highlighting, obviously, the tight end position, since we know that versus Arizona, that's the most gettable matchup. And it is such a scorched earth landscape. I have right now Everett projected for 3 grabs around, I don't know, 35 to 38 yards and a touchdown. But you're hoping for that touchdown so that you can get into double digit fantasy points.
It would be Goff's first touchdown pass in quite some time if that was the case.
Also, from a fantasy angle, you know, we talked about how with Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods both back, it should help Cooper Kupp because there'd be some field stretchers available and he wouldn't be taken away so easily by opposing defenses. He did have 10 targets. So that, I think, was optimistic, right? What he did with them, 35 yards, blah, not great. But I did like to see that at least the process was right, because then we know that that process remains one that at least Sean McVay believes could help Jared Goff.
And when you look at the Cardinals, too, obviously the great advantage that fantasy players have is streaming the tight end position against them. Kupp plays like a pseudo tight end role. I still think he has one of the most unique in terms of deployment. In terms of his deployment, is one of the most unique ones in the NFL. But also, they've given it up to slot receivers too. That middle of the field is just really weak for them. So I think this is it was definitely a good process to be like, okay, these field stretchers are back, but it was against a tough secondary, as we mentioned several times. This is not the case. This should be a much better week for Cooper Kupp. It's very tempting to get into these Rams receivers because, I mean, I was saying going into the Monday night game, like I'm building DFS lineups early because everything is early this week. I'm like, well, man,
no, I haven't done that yet.
I'm like, man, you could look at these Rams receivers and like they're pretty cheap, all things considered, in a really good matchup. And if the game had been priced after Monday night, they might have been even cheaper. So it's very tempting to like buy into that Rams offense as a bounce back unit, especially because of the value that you're going to get in daily fantasy. But I'll be honest, right now, it does not feel comfortable clicking any LA Rams player. I don't know where the hell the Rams go from
here. Just a little fun fact, heading into this game, Todd Gurley was averaging 58 rushing yards per contest, and Lamar was averaging 78 rushing yards per contest. It blows you away, right? Just to put everything in context. I was stunned when I sat down and figured that out. But let's move forward on to Thanksgiving Day. I think, Matt, you and I have both talked our food takes a bunch. I don't if you have anything you want to passionately talk about in terms of Thanksgiving as a day of gratitude, as a day of eating, revelry, spirit drinking, feel free. But let's talk about Chicago, Detroit. I don't really want to talk about it that long.
You know what's a bummer when you're sitting here like, man, if Jeff Driscoll doesn't go for the Lions, that's tough. They're not guaranteeing that he's going to play.
Also like talk about shutting Matt Stafford down. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think Stafford's going to play. Period. I don't think he's got a shot. And then you've got Driscoll questionable for this game. Do you know who the Lions' third string quarterback is?
Well, AJ McCarron. I have no idea.
I only figured it out mere moments ago. It's a human entity named David Blow.
David Blow.
I'm assuming it's pronounced Blow. It's spelled B L O
U G H.
Yes.
Bluch.
Bluch.
That's good. David Bluch.
We're all going to be David Bluching all over the Lions-Bears game. I mean, this is a mess, but at the same time, we did see some of the Bears' offensive players, at least Allen Robinson, had a good game last week against a very gettable defense.
Anthony Miller, as you pointed out a couple of weeks ago, Justin Coleman has struggled after starting hot in the slot in the secondary for the Lions. So Anthony Miller, who's seeing a bunch of targets, I don't know. I have like wanted to do that a couple of times and talked it up maybe a month ago, but I have certainly pulled back from it. Though Miller almost did have a touchdown last week against the Giants, but shoulda, coulda, woulda.
9 targets, 20 over the last 2 weeks. That's not for nothing.
Getting looks, but I don't want to be tied to Mitch Trubisky, especially on the road.
No. I think Miller is a really good play if you're going to do like a 3-game Thanksgiving slate on daily fantasy. But other than that, I don't know that you really need to be tying your hopes to Anthony Miller at this point in the season. Overall, though, I mean, you're not trusting anybody, I think, really beyond Robinson on this offense, and that's, you know, David Montgomery included.
Agreed. And on the Lions side of things, I think you can't sit Galladay, but you're going to downgrade him, obviously, especially if you have Bluch.
Especially if you're Bluching under center. In this one.
And I would say TJ Hockenson, I saw a little blurb about his health, but I think if he is in, he is an acceptable stream, but you're going to pray for that touchdown because the matchup is gettable.
Yeah, and I think, too, Bo Scarborough on this offense
of course
as well.
I mean, that goes without saying. Bluch and Scarborough.
It goes without saying, Bo Scarborough.
Yeah, that's the point of the season we're at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I like him, right? I mean, we like him, even if Bluch is bluching on this one.
If Bluch is bluching, all the more for Scarborough.
40 carries for Scarborough.
Bro Scarborough.
Jeez. This feels great. I mean, this is getting...
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
This is like a damn preseason squad out there with Bluch and Scarborough.
Can you just say Scarborough?
Scarborough.
I love it when we like accentuate the bro in Scarborough.
Scarborough.
Let's just stop talking about this game.
That'll be enough. Let's keep moving.
Bills at Cowboys.
This one's exciting.
It is exciting, potentially. Except you know that in the final moments, something will go awry and Jason Garrett won't, I don't know, go for 3 or something. And
He won't go. 3.
And
well, he'll never go.
Did we talk about this on this show, how Urban Meyer and Lincoln Riley are probably one of those two is going to coach the Fried?
But no, I don't think it was this show.
No.
Sounds a little bit familiar. Yeah, I mean, it's
I'm going to say right now, after the loss against the Patriots on Sunday. That was Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. After the loss to the Patriots. And everyone's talking about the weather conditions, and Jerry Jones's comments after the game were pretty eye-opening. Listen, I like a loyal man. Like, that is a lovely thing. I love that Jerry Jones, at least from a kindness perspective, has been in Garrett's corner for close to a decade. But I also think that he's had a little bit of like, well, if I don't back this guy, then who? Right? Like, I don't have options necessarily that are any better than what I have. And I think with interest from Urban Meyer and Lincoln Riley in potentially, there's a window here, right, where he could have better options when he's basically saying we were out coached to the press. That's pretty damning. So I do feel like this might be the end of the Jason Garrett ride. And I do think that Urban Meyer is like a perfect culture fit for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think Lincoln Riley would be like the pie in the sky.
Sure.
Option.
But he has expressed interest. Charles Robinson reported on it.
Yeah, I mean, and you also have the in-house option, too, of Kellen Moore. Who, you know,
I don't think they're going to do that.
Jason Garrett-y, though, you know? Yeah,
no, I think he's too wet behind the ears.
A little bit, but someone's going to be interviewing him for a head coach position. If not this offseason, then the next offseason. You know, do you want to keep him in-house? You want to get him 2 years before he's actually ready to do it? Or do you want to let him go and be the coach of the Jaguars? Or something like that, you know?
No, I hear you. In that case, I would hope that he could have his... Well, I mean, Chris Richard, it also depends on whether he's going to get head coaching interest as well. But it'd be nice if they kept, like... I guess so, part of me really wants to see the Cowboys kind of... I think Kellen Moore's done good things, but it also feels a little Jason Garrett-ish.
Because it's so just, inside.
It's just keep your pipeline... Keep Jerry's pipeline going and all that type of stuff. But... I don't know that it's so much better than go chase a big name, but there's just a, there is, I don't think that I agree with you. It does feel like the end of Jason Garrett's ride because everyone, including like Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant become, what is he, like a, he's like a top five Twitter pundit at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it does feel like the end of Jason Garrett's ride because everyone's criticizing him. And it just is so obvious looking at this team that the thing that's holding them back is coaching.
And also, Jerry Jones is like, what, you wanted stuff. I got you all the stuff. What are you talking about? Like, you have the quarterback. We still haven't paid him, but you got the quarterback. You've got the defense in theory, right? They may not be healthy. They may be up and down, but whose fault is that? This is not a talent poor roster by any means, and it is a completely balanced, and there's no reason that they should be losing, especially in a division where both of the teams are playing XFL games.
Yeah, right. They shouldn't have and especially the Eagles are number two in the division, and they're like, they shouldn't have that team nipping on their heels. The Eagles have so many problems at this point that Dallas should win this one, this division going away. But I think this matchup on Thursday is interesting because I don't think this is a gimme for Dallas. The Bills are one of what feels like 500 teams that everyone wants to say, you haven't played anyone yet. And I mean, they've definitely had a pretty easy schedule so far, have the Buffalo Bills. But Josh Allen in particular has played really well over the last, he hasn't thrown an interception in six games. And over his last four games, he's completed 60.5% of his passes, 6-1 TD to INT ratio. He's only thrown one interception in his last six games, and that one came last week, but 96 passer rating. And that's in addition to 152-4 on the ground. I think overall, Allen is starting to make some real progress here.
I mean, if you're the Cowboys, I think, and you're the Cowboys and you're Jason Garrett and you're coming off of a loss, you're not going to get aggressive, right? Like, I think if anything, we have seen that Jason Garrett often moves from a place of fear and can't just say like, you know what, I'm just going to de-gaff, right? And like go big. And we know that the Bills' number one deficiency on defense is their run defense, right? So this is an opportunity for Garrett to say, if he is going to get crazy, it just means inserting a little more Tony Pollard, but he's going to let Zeke have his game here. And I would be worried about, I know Randall Cobb has been excellent for the team, but I'm not messing with the Bills secondary with their receiving defense at all. On the Bills side of things, though, Cole Beasley is someone who's seen a lot of targets. You mentioned him as a potential pickup. I don't love it, but I do think if you're really desperate in a full point, I'm not even talking half point, full point PPR, you know, you're going to see Byron Jones on the outside.
Revenge game. Hello. This is a revenge game for Cole Beasley.
You're right. I hadn't thought about it.
It's a revenge game. Come on.
Okay.
Are you kidding? Him and Anthony Miller stack it up in the three-game Thanksgiving slate for all the money.
Get all the slot receivers going.
All the slot receivers. Get all your money back.
Throw in some Russell Gage versus the Saints for the throw. This is three. There you go.
You know what? Then you're paying up for Zeke. Then you're paying up for Alvin Kamara. Let's ride. I've already made lineup.
That's your receiver.
That's your receiver core. This is it. Now we just got to find a tight end somewhere out there. Is Jared Cook still $10 or what?
He's still there and he's playing the Falcons.
Here's a question. With this Dallas passing offense, because I've already started to get a lot of people ask me, am I still playing Dak Prescott this week? I mean, I think so against the Buffalo Bills.
He's also home.
He's at home, and it's another thing too. Cowboys Twitter is ready to unveil their latest theory, which is that Amari Cooper is just really bad on the road. His catch rate
heard
in home.
This before.
Yeah, we've heard this one before. I think it's just Amari Cooper is a bit of an inconsistent player, and
also never plays a season without being some kind of hurt, like real hurt, like not just like football hurt, but like maybe another person wouldn't play.
Yeah, so great on your toughness, but can definitely take away from your...
But that's also the beauty of what the Cowboys have right now and why it's so disappointing, because you have Michael Gallup, so you don't necessarily need Amari Cooper to be all the things.
Yeah, and I mean, in this one, you would think that if Amari Cooper draws Tre'Davious White, then that's good news for Michael Gallup, and I don't think that's such bad news for Randall Cobb, even though the Bills are generally a pretty good slot defense.
Saints at Falcons.
Saints at
the
Falcons.
The rematch. From 2 weeks ago.
So I think we can kind of put to bed the idea that the Falcons are this.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I mean, I know that they didn't show out, but
I mean, they didn't just not show out. They had a QB hit. One.
Fair enough. But I also think that they're at home. They're coming off a bad loss.
Weren't they at home last week?
I don't know.
I think they're at home last week.
They may have been. Sure. They were at home. They're at home again. They're at home again.
Try it one more time.
Who did they play?
They were at home to the Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks.
And they lost. Right. Yeah.
They got two picks off Jameis Winston, but I mean, come on, everybody can get two picks.
Well, maybe
off Jameis
when
Winston.
You priced them at $11 in DFS, we knew what we were doing. Maybe
that was enough though. I mean, hey, that was a good sure. that was a good play. I just think in terms of like shutting down an opposing offense and being this swarming pass rush, I think that might have been a 2 week.
The Saints have struggled over the past 2 weeks though. So I don't think that the Falcons, I also think they might. I mean, if we are going to say that the Saints lost to the Falcons 2 weeks ago was a bit of a trap game, then maybe the Falcons lost to Tampa Bay last Sunday was also a bit of a trap game. There's no way that these two teams aren't going to compete, and there's no way the Falcons don't want to prove, like, this is it for their year. They're not making the playoffs.
Oh, I'm not saying, like, that the Falcons...
They can play spoiler.
I'm not saying that this will be a bad game or that the Saints are going to blow them out, because I don't... The Saints, there's just...
Some stuff.
They're a little weird right now. Like, offensively, I don't know that they have... it's weird to say. They just cleared 30 points, right? You know, their quarterback was great distributing the ball to his weapons. But defensively, they've been a few steps back. That could be because Marshawn Lattimore is out.
And you're seeing the frustration bubble over. I mean, Cam Jordan has never been a quiet personality, but he's getting more chippy than normal, which I think is telling. And to me, when you see the chippier players on the team start to lose a little bit of control, that's evidence of a deeper issue going on.
Yeah, it just feels, like you said, feels weird, some stuff. And I think in this game, the interesting question is, you know, how much is Julio Jones going to play? Because an injury kept him to under 60% of the snaps last week.
He's off and on, yeah.
Is Marshawn Lattimore going to play in this game? I don't know if he does or doesn't.
It's a short week, so.
It's a short week, so I would doubt it. Even then... you're getting a hampered Falcons passing offense and a hampered Saints secondary. Matt Ryan's performance was probably the most disappointing of anybody's in week 12 against a very beatable Bucs secondary. He does essentially nothing.
Sacked six
times. The lone Falcons touchdown pass was had by one Matt Schaub to Calvin Ridley. So if you played Calvin Ridley.
Do you remember when we saw the Calvin Ridley touchdown? I was like, wait, why doesn't Matt Ryan? We were both like, why doesn't Matt Ryan have any touchdowns? Oh, yeah, that was
Schaub. I mean, the Falcons are also depleted because they're missing Austin Hooper. Devonta Freeman is practicing, though. So if you're thinking about messing around with any of these Falcons don't do it. Even with Freeman, like, I hope you're not that desperate to have to.
Saints run defense still pretty good.
Yeah, to be like, oh, damn, Freeman's back. Let me get him right in the lineup. I hope you're not that desperate. I think this is just a very clear, like, I think this could get high scoring. It could be interesting. 48.5 point total. It's already come down from a 50 opener. So these two teams just aren't the same explosive offenses that we're used to, especially because they're not healthy. At least
give me a side dish, a Thanksgiving side dish for each one of these matchups. Bears at Lions. Can we agree that it's green bean casserole?
Well, because we don't like green bean casserole.
Correct.
But the thing is, I would say it can't be green bean casserole because everybody wants to tell you green bean casserole is good and it actually sucks. I don't think anybody's trying to tell you it is game.
That's a good point.
How about just this is...
The white meat of the turkey that everyone, like, they carve up and you're like, oh, that looks gorgeous. I'm not eating it.
I like the white meat of the turkey.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No,
you don't. I think turkey's good.
It's great. Have a sandwich.
How about you don't like stuffing, do you?
No, it's gross.
See, so it's stuffing because it's like...
Oh, stuffing's perfect because like
classic.
It's a
tradition. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So this is stuffing. You just have to deal with it. It's early. Just get it over with.
Eat that off your plate first.
Yeah.
Right, how do you eat? I eat one thing at a time. Like I'm definitely like, I like kind of figure out like, oh, I like this. And then I save my favorite thing to the end.
But then you're too full to eat it. But I don't care. I'm stuffing it down my
arm. Girl, I'm never
too
full.
I'm stuffing that mac and cheese down my face anyways.
That's right.
I'm a bowl eater like in my day-to-day life.
In lunch, I put everything in a bowl.
Yeah, I do. Oh, I do that at home. Yeah. Just everything in a big-ass bowl. And I can't do that at Thanksgiving, obviously, because I'll get yelled at because I look like an idiot. But
do you bring your own bowl to your parents' house? I brought my own
salad, bowl.
My own mixing bowl.
No, so I'm normally a bowl eater, but I think in that way I mix everything up. I go piece by piece by piece.
All right. Bills at Cowboys. What food is this? I think this is some cranberry sauce because there's a little bit of tartness. There's a little bit of sweet, a little bit of sour because you don't know which way it's going to go.
I don't like cranberry sauce, but I'll let that stand.
I like cranberry sauce. I like, but not homemade cranberry sauce. I like it when it's in a can and I can like see the ridges and I can just like slice it, eat it like, you know how I feel about Jell-O. It's basically dense Jell-O. Saints at Falcons. This is pumpkin pie, which everybody says is amazing, but actually isn't that great. This is the dish that like is supposed to be the centerpiece. This is supposed to be fantastic. You're gonna finish your day with, right? If you want a nightcap, listen, I know how to make a pumpkin pie white Russian that is much better than this. But
this
an
podcast
actual
is
piece
over,
of pumpkin pie. What?
This podcast is over.
Are we done?
Yeah, with now? You slandering the name of pumpkin pie.
You like it?
It's great.
I don't understand. It's a squash. Like, why not just eat?
It's squash pie.
It's squash pie. Just like whipped cream. We're going to do our one thought. These are the Sunday games because that comes after the Thursday games.
Yup. Can confirm.
Titans at Colts. One thing, Matt.
Jonathan Williams. Will he be the featured back for the Colts again? He ran out there in pretty much a workhorse role. He was basically Marlon Mack, as if Marlon Mack was still there. His name was just Jonathan Williams.
Titans run defense, a little tougher.
Titans run defense, definitely tougher. But still, if he's going to get that level of volume, he's
can't
still...
say no to 20 touches in a running back. I'll tell you what.
Tell me what. I think he would still be obviously not as appealing of a play as he was against the Texans, but I still think he'd be in consideration. I have Sony Michel on my fantasy team that I started. What's his bucket, Jonathan Williams, last week over him, and now I got that same damn debate this week.
I see. I think Ryan Tannehill has been intriguing as of late.
Oh, Ryan Tannehill.
The ball would go to A.J. Brown more, that he would be chosen more to be targeted, to be more featured. But I don't know why there's a reluctance, it seems, there.
I mean, he's a big play threat, totally. I think he will be obviously a 2020, like, huge breakout candidate that everybody will be all over, but you'll think you're cute at first, but then everybody says it, so whatever. Ryan Tannehill, though, here's a theory I have. We're now past the one thing, but here's the theory I have.
Sorry, Brett.
Do you think that Tannehill, like, he's a very emblematic of, like, one of these guys who's very talented, and now he's just kind of playing with house money, right? Like, he doesn't have the pressure of being the franchise quarterback anymore, mm-hmm. and it just, there's something about, like, he just immediately brought life to a Titans offense, which is weird to say about Ryan Tannehill because he's like throwing his body around out there. He's like banging into dudes at the goal line. And it's just that, like, look, I'm not this team's franchise quarterback. I'm not the guy they've picked in the top 10 of the draft.
He's on a 1-year prove it and he's trying to prove it.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's fun to see.
It's certainly fun to see. And I think you're right. There is something to like the mental piece of the game and whether you can perform when the lights are the brightest and the pressure is the highest. And at least in Miami, he couldn't. So I think Tannehill's an interesting stream, interesting play. Obviously, against the Colts, it's like not as juicy of a matchup, but just because I think it's going to be fairly low scoring, too. Jets at Bengals. One thing, Matt, please. Andy Dalton. We need to talk about Andy Dalton because he's back under center.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I know why. I have a theory. Why? Can I tell you why?
Go for it.
I think Andy Dalton is obviously, this is going to be the end of his run with this team in Cincinnati. Yes. And I think his agent very wisely pled with the front office and said, can we please use this opportunity and soft schedule moving forward to showcase my client who has given you his entire career since his rookie effort so that he can move on and in good faith.
Right. It's like, I'm sure part of the pitch was, guys, you've already clinched the number one pick. That's happening. Yep. You guys got like a 2-game commanding lead on that thing. Let Andy Dalton go out there, like you said, showcase a little bit. I don't know how good he's going to look on this Bengals offense, which is just a train wreck. And on the Jets side, not only do we need to give, I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, but we need to give credit to Sam Darnold because he's actually playing pretty well in terms of like a second year quarterback outside of those two nightmare games. But this Jets defense is playing very well, too. They're giving up the lowest yards per carry in the NFL, so more bad news for Joe Mixon. But overall, they've actually been a pretty solid stop unit. Obviously, they flummoxed the Raiders last week, and I don't know that this is a... I thought, like, oh, man, Andy Dalton's back. I bet she's, like, super cheap in DFS. Maybe actually sort. And I'm like, nah, I don't know about that.
I will say that the one thing I like from the Jets offense, though, is that with Andy Dalton being back, is that I expect a little bit more back and forth, less lying down, which means we've seen Robbie Anderson score in back-to-back games and be utilized. It wasn't a Jamison Crowder game. It was an Anderson game. And as Sam Darnold's getting more comfortable, boy went and supposedly hooked up with a girl last night.
Oh, did you see that?
Go get it, Sammy D. Yes.
There was a headline in the New York Post, Brett. It's just the headline was, after win, Sam Darnold gets, quote, wasted and hooks up with girl. Like, cool.
As he should. High five.
Congrats. He's 23. He lives in New York.
Yeah. What do you want him to do?
He's also like a fine, nice guy. He's just a sweet boy.
He is.
Totally. I mean, we know. Are we surprised he just had mono? Like, of course he's out there like throwing his tongue into ladies' mouths.
Also, my favorite was because I quote tweeted that last night. Just congrats. Like, people were replying, oh, he's going to get mono again.
Maybe he's being a little more selective.
Forever once you have it, yeah. Like chicken pox.
Yeah, I don't think you can get it again.
I think so. Yeah, with a virus. Yeah, I don't know.
The WebMD special of the Fantasy Football Podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like Robbie Anderson a lot this week. I think there's going to be more back and forth. We know that Cincinnati is allowing over 13 yards per reception, which is the most in the league. And so I think that you could see maybe a bit of a, it's not technically a hat trick because it's not the same game, but three scores in a row.
Yeah.
Each week. So who's next? I don't have the tab up.
We've got the Washington... Great Washington FC against Carolina Panthers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I got something. How about this? Dontari Poe, the second best run stopper on the Panthers, is out. You've seen Darius Geis be... I didn't think it was going to happen. I don't know why it's happening, but I have refused to employ logic when dealing with Washington. You've seen Darius Geis folded in, eased into this offense. If you're looking for a sleeper running back, I think that, at a not great position, Geis could really attack the Panthers here. So there's a nug.
10 rushes for 32 yards last week, 2 targets, 1 catch, 6 yards. It's razor thin, but it's not the craziest considering how bad this run defense has been. And obviously, yeah, if there's going to be another player out, that's just a bit more of an upgrade. I'll say this on the Panthers side. It's been mostly DJ Moore for months now. And I mean, he's been awesome. His skill set lines up perfectly with Kyle Allen. Won't surprise me to see Curtis Samuel get loose in this one against a secondary that really can't cover anybody.
And also Greg Olsen has caught 5 passes in back-to-back games. That's about right. That's about what you're going to get.
Yeah. Nice little foreplay.
He's not going to give you many looks in the red zone behind Moore and McCaffrey. So I wouldn't bank on a touchdown, even in a juicy matchup. Let's talk about the 49ers at the Ravens. We talked a little bit about this matchup at the top of the game. What are you looking for? I mean, what is the... Obviously, it's not great analysis to say you think the Ravens are going to run the ball.
The Ravens might try to establish the run.
I mean, we know that the weakness of the 49ers is their run defense, right? So that sets up pretty nicely for what the Ravens are doing particularly well. Maybe Gus Edwards gets in there again. I mean, I feel like this is going to be a lot of on-the-ground play.
Yeah. And
technical term for it.
Yeah, on-the-ground play. Very good football term. I would say, too, on the 49ers side, it's tough to think. Like, we've been riding Debo Samuel for a couple of weeks now, and that's been successful. Obviously, George Kittle is a freaking monster. Jimmy Garoppolo coming off another good game, too. But it's tough to think that they're going to go into Baltimore and replicate that type of success against a defense that is just about as white hot as its offense right now.
I do think Kittle scores, though.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Well, Kittle's amazing.
I do think Tony Jefferson's loss has hurt the secondary in Baltimore a little bit, and you've seen some tight ends work against him. So I think that's a fair estimate. Is there anything else from this?
Nah, I mean, this one's just like, I think you put, like, you're not benching Lamar, you're not benching Mark Ingram. I think you're fine with the guys you would normally play in this one, but I don't think you're going down the line to like the Debo Samuels of the world. And Marquise Brown even is a little bit questionable, although I'm always willing to risk Hollywood.
Because you like that upside. What about the Buccaneers at the Jaguars? A lot of people like Nick Foles as a streaming option this week. I don't think he's looked that great.
No.
I understand, like, when people put numbers into algorithms, it makes sense that Nick Foles would be the number one streaming option at quarterback. But
Sam
Darnold more, frankly.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Yeah. I agree with you. You want to go with a quarterback that's actually playing well right now. The Jaguars are like a total sinking ship at this point. I think they're headed towards a full-on reboot at the end of the year. And it just makes you nervous.
Can they bring Minshew back?
Yes, I think at some point when they're completely out of contention.
Like week 15.
Yeah, eliminated from the playoffs, I think we see Minshew again, which is almost just like, what's the point? It just is weird. Like, they seem like completely identity-free since they took Minshew out of there, which is, that's kind of the Nick Foles operation. Like, gives some great motivational quotes at the press conference, but like, and, you know, obviously did what he did in Philadelphia, but Minshew gave this is what was such a dangerous thing about pulling him, was that he gave them such a clear team identity, like, you know, protect the ball, work off play action,
a fearlessness, like just an ethos around it too.
Totally, that I think players bought into. And then now, like, it's not that they don't buy into Nick Foles, it's just he's a shotgun quarterback with a running back that can't run out of shotgun. And like, if you're gonna run the ball and be that type of team and not pass 50 freaking times, like, this is just, it's just not a good fit. This is why the Nick Foles signing in Jacksonville, while it was always destined because of the offensive coordinator match and because they were really the only team bidding for him, this is what made it so confusing because of the way Fournette needs to play versus the way Foles mm-hmm. needs to play. And it's not like Foles is the guy that, like, now we're building the offense around him. So they're in a pretty tough spot. And frankly, I would think that the Bucs on that side of the ball, the defense has really started to fall apart so fast in Jacksonville that, I mean, we know they can't stop the run, but are you really trusting? Let's get a Ronald Jones heat check, Liz. No Ronald Jones for you.
I mean, what do we know the volume's going to be like?
It'll be 12 carries.
Right. So are you,
you're hoping for a touchdown.
Would you play Darius Geis over Ronald Jones? I'm going to say yes.
Matt is rubbing his face. Like, Matt looks like they just opened the Ark of the Covenant. He's freaking out right now.
That these are decisions that the people that you always like to refer to as the people are having to make, Matt. So be a man of the people and take a stand.
I would play Ronald Jones.
You really would.
Better offense. I mean, they're getting about the same amount. You say, what's the volume going to be? They're getting about the same amount of volume.
I think that Geis will see, you know, over, I think probably 17 total touches.
I don't know. I think that Panthers pass rush, Brian Burns has started to play. He's starting to get healthy again. I think they'd really take it to Geis. I think the Panthers win.
They take
good.
It to Geis.
I mean, take it to Haskins. Both things can be true, honestly, in this one.
All right.
That one took it out of me. Ronald Jones, Darius Geis. God help you if you're one of the people.
Not surprising. I also like Chris Conley as like a wild dart throw, but that's because he's had 8 or 9 targets in back-to-back weeks. And I'm not afraid of the Buccaneers secondary. But of course, you're starting DJ Chark regardless. All right, Browns and Steelers. Oh, God, this little narrative attached to this one.
The Duck Show is back.
Indeed.
That's it. I mean, I think that the way the Steelers want to play offense, much better with a safe quarterback like Devlin Hodges. I won't
throw him Duck.
Duck. I'm just trying to be nice. Old Ducky behind center and Benny Snell at halfback, as opposed to like the Mason Rudolph, Jalen Samuels check down machine. I think it's good for the Steelers. I think this is a good situation for an offense that is about as talent poor as any in the NFL right now. I think they have a much better shot at winning games and like keeping them competitive with these two behind the offensive line. And I like Benny Snell a lot as a guy that I think you can play as like an RB2. I like Benny Snell better than the last two goofballs we just talked about, Geis and Ronald Jones.
Well, you know, I'm always here for a Snell nug. I've been here riding the train since July. I will say from the Browns, I think they get Njoku back this week. I'm not going to start him because we don't know what he's going to look like coming back. But I think this is another piece that is adding to Baker Mayfield's comfortability moving forward to his arsenal. So I'm liking Baker Mayfield more and more in this final third evolution of the season, which is something we have touched on throughout the year.
I almost disagree with you when it comes to David Njoku, you know, because I like my big thing is the Browns have really simplified things.
Oh, this is too much for Baker to handle.
Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, that's what you're mostly Nick Chubb is what mm-hmm. your offensive is based around. And like last week, it was all OBJ and all Jarvis Landry. I think a third body disrupts the flow.
Well, I like choices. So I think that's a fine point, but I don't agree. Let's talk about Packers at Giants.
Packers at Giants. Get right game for the Packers. They need it. Although, woof. I mean,
What is this team? This team is Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams and sometimes Aaron Rodgers.
And Jamal Williams.
Sure.
Williams had seven catches last week.
Yeah, but I mean,
garbage time, but still. I think they're really a team that needs to control the script, and they don't have a defense to do that right now. I like the, in theory, if the offensive line, which, by the way,
did not look good,
which
is surprising.
And they had an injury with Brian Bulaga, but he avoided a disaster injury. By the way, doesn't it feel like Brian Bulaga's hurt every year?
At
some point, that guy's hurt. He's played for about 100 years, and he's hurt in every single one of those 100 years. But I like, in theory, the way the offense is very simple. You know, it's Davante Adams in the passing game, and then it's these two running backs. Like, that is pretty typical of a Shanahan scheme offense. There's not a ton. Like, in the old days, it was the X receiver and the running game, but there's nothing going on. Like, Jimmy Graham is just total dust at tight end. Alan Lazard has kind of solidified himself as the number two receiver, but he's still Alan Lazard.
And his volume still doesn't match when you say, like, a number two receiver on a Packers, on a Green Bay Packers offense, what you're getting statistically out of Lazard is underwhelming.
Yeah, I just think they're really talent depleted. They're top heavy. Adams is great. Jones is great. Williams is pretty good. Rodgers is obviously still Rodgers. After that, you're off a cliff, man. There's nothing going on here.
Sterling Shepard is back. Mm-hmm. And he saw a decent amount of targets. I think 9 targets. He's seeing like 9 targets pretty much all the time, which is interesting. Yeah. I think he might be available in some leagues because he was out for so long that some people might have had to drop him. I think he's a talented player. I do like him more in the slot. Obviously, that's Golden Tate's position on the field now. So I do think if you can get Shepard or he happens to be available, I wouldn't mind him again, because while the Packers are certainly beatable against the run, it's not like their pass defense is lit.
Yeah, Tate is in the concussion protocol too.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Evan Ingram is week to week with a foot injury. So if those two guys were to miss this game, and I would think that Ingram is likely to miss and Tate is maybe.
Oh, that's right.
Caden Smith, sure. Yeah. But like, I mean, even that's even more to your Sterling Shepard point against a defense that really hasn't been able to cover anyone. Do you think Daniel Jones makes for a good streaming quarterback this week? We know in good matchups, he has shown a fine ceiling.
Do you get points for fumbles?
Probably not.
Then no.
Okay.
So Sterling Shepard right now, again, this is on a Tuesday, is owned in 53% of leagues, which is kind of wild. Like, that's very low from what
the guy didn't play for months.
Right. But he's the number one receiver, in theory, on a football team.
On a football team with a quarterback.
Where are we? Eagles at Dolphins. Oh, blarg.
The question here is, can the Eagles do what the Browns did last week? And I think the answer is no. They have no talent.
Yeah. Jordan Howard, they're really missing him. I feel like Dallas Goedert is going to be a thing. He's the number two receiver on the squad.
Their other number one receiver is another tight end.
Yeah.
I believe tight ends or running backs caught 22 passes last week. And their wide receiver core is sub NFL caliber. We know that Jordan Matthews will get the UP text again at some point, but he's off the team at this current time. They've broken up for the fifth time. So sad. You really want these kids to figure it out.
Well, I mean, maybe there's just a connection he can't deny. I don't know. Devontae Parker, that's someone I hyped. I think that he's been pretty awesome lately. He's been super cheap in DFS, and I wouldn't mind starting him again this week. Should we move on, though?
This is a very gross
matchup. Rams at Cardinals, we already pretty much talked about. The Los Angeles Chargers at Brett's Denver Broncos. Are you here for it, Brett?
Is Drew Lock playing?
I haven't seen anything.
I don't know. I mean, it's early. It's Tuesday. It's, you know, this stuff doesn't really kind of come out until later in the week. So we have no idea. I mean, they have to. They have to. Brandon Allen had like 120 yards or something like that last week.
So I understand why Denver fans want to see Drew Lock, but for the sake of fantasy, I don't want to deal with another like, who's the guy going to be? Is the chemistry between, you know, you would imagine that Fant and Locke, both as rookies, would have chemistry, but gross.
Locke doesn't have chemistry with anybody.
He hasn't played in 100 years.
He hasn't played since.
He does have chemistry if you go on his Instagram with a certain someone.
Oh. I was going to say that, but I thought better of it. But, I mean, we got to know. I mean, the Broncos are going to have a top 10 pick next year. I mean,
hey,
don't
listen.
Know. I mean, it feels like Justin. It's gonna be Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert, dude. He's tall and he sucks.
You know who
he's a perfect.
You know
LA
who's gonna be available? AFC North. We're just gonna take every former AFC North quarterback. Andy Dalton.
He's not tall enough.
Not tall
he's
enough.
He's 6'2".
Yeah, and I mean,
yeah, Herbert's your guy, dude. He's tall. He sucks.
You have to know what you have in Drew Lock before.
I agree.
Before the offseason,
he hasn't played a lick of professional football outside of the preseason.
Everyone has to start sometime, you know.
That's
everyone
right.
has to have their first game.
I think you got to see what you. And plus, this ecosystem is not the worst. Their offensive line is bad, but it's not the worst. Cortland Sutton is good.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Fant is starting to show some things.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay's good.
Philip Lindsay's good. Royce Freeman's kind of fading to the background here.
He's given up.
Yeah,
I was one of the last people on Royce Freeman Island.
He's not even really like rosterable in fantasy at this point, other than just for like stash season appeal. And Philip Lindsay, though, I mean, he's been getting, like we said, more and more of a workhorse type role in this offense. And this is a good matchup against this Chargers defense that's struggled with missed tackles pretty much all year. So I think if you're disappointed out of what you got against the Bills team that you can run on last week with Philip Lindsay, this week I think you can play him pretty confidently.
Especially if Drew Lock is back.
I like
or is under center, not back. He's starting.
I want to see what we get out of Drew Lock. I think you get yourself a bit of a trap with Drew Lock if like he comes in and shows you pretty well, yeah. And then you're just like, okay, good enough. Like that's our guy going into 2020. I don't think that, but I think if Lock comes in and shows them something, they can mix him with like a Ryan Tannehill type, even though Ryan Tannehill, he's not getting out of Tennessee, he's getting a franchise tag. But, you know, someone of that caliber, someone in this free agent pool, an Andy Dalton type, whatever. Have him compete with Locke. I think that would be fine.
Whoever is under center for the Broncos in week 13, whether it's Allen or Locke, will likely be intimidated by Melvin Ingram. So I agree with Matt. There's going to be a lot of handoffs to Philip Lindsay. And this one for that reason.
Spent a lot of time on that game.
Yeah, we sure did. What about these Raiders? These Raiders who, oh my gosh, we can't believe they lost a game against the...
little trap game, you know?
Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead, which, Matt, I don't know if you know this, I heard is a tough place to play.
Should be a rebound spot for Josh Jacobs, though. This should be a game where the Raiders can...
Establish their script.
Keep Carr on their script. I think you're pretty much, you know,
oh,
what
man,
you're
I would love to see, though, like we did talk about how the last time we saw the Chiefs, they got after Phillip Rivers, Chris Jones, Frank Clark were healthier. Now they're coming off of some rest. Like maybe they give Derek Carr some spooks
there. This is the problem when you're facing the Chiefs and you're a run inclined team. You could, if you're the Titans, you could get Derrick Henry rolling for 180 yards, two touchdowns and have yourself a damn upset. Or you could do what the Chargers did and fall behind, and then your quarterback is getting harassed. So that there are two possible scripts here for the Raiders. I think it's good enough that you start Josh Jacobs, but I would avoid that Raiders passing game, especially now that Keek Hog-Hunfrow has punctured his lung.
I know.
Oh, poor guy.
That's not great.
Monitor Tyreek Hill status, too.
On the Chiefs side of things, I think Mecole Hardman is not getting enough pub here because – he, to me, is the Will Fuller of 2019, right? Like, he doesn't need to be on the field for 70% of the snaps. Like, you just got to put him out there for, like, three plays, and he can make something happen. And maybe Andy Reid's like, I can't do this Sammy Watkins thing anymore. Like, I'm just going to give more opportunities to Hardman. Or, frankly, if all of those ancillary pieces are out there doing their things, or Tyreek Hill is a little bit banged up, like... I don't think you need – Hardman is not going to pull tons of defensive attention, and we know he has the explosiveness and speed possible to make great plays, big plays, week after week. We know that the Raiders secondary is a clear vulnerability, so I think that Hardman is one of these wild upside, low-volume opportunity guys.
Liz Loza, somebody better get you a pair of ears because that's exactly what I said on Wolf Pickups this morning. Mecole Hardman is definitely
I would not. I did not hear that. You weren't in the studio?
No, I was in the.
Oh, I was just like, no,
I was in the bunker cam over there.
Okay.
But I like that. I agree with all of your logic on Mecole Hardman there. Hey, you don't even have to say how about the like. That's enough of this Sammy Watkins thing. That's enough of this DeMarcus Robinson thing.
Sure, that too. We have to monitor the health of. Is that what you said, Damien Williams?
both Tyreek Hill and Damian Williams. I think Hill probably plays, but even if he's limited, that's good news for Hardman. What the hell am I talking about? And the running backs too. Williams is injured. I think that it's worth grabbing
McCoy.
I don't think it's worth grabbing Meshawn McCoy.
Meshawn Decoy.
Wow. Nailed it. I think you can grab Darrell Williams, but I think McCoy is done.
The Patriots at the Texans.
Thank you for being nice and not mentioning he who must not be named in the Chiefs backfield. Darwin Thompson.
Oh, I forgot about him.
It's easy to forget
every time,
about
every
done
time
anything.
You talk about Darwin Thompson, I think about that meme with the face melting. Like, that is now forever attached in my brain.
Me too.
Patriots at Texans. Listen, I do think Jakobi Meyers and N'Keal Harry, if you talk about vulnerable secondaries, we know the Texans have one. And what else they got?
Nothing.
The Patriots.
I think nothing. They have nothing.
I kind of don't want N'Keal Harry to be like, I'm going to prioritize him over Jakobi Meyers, and I'm going to rank him ahead of Jakobi Meyers because of that contested catch ability. And because he scored a touchdown in a tough spot. I mean, did you see that sideways rain? But it was like a hurricane. But I do think
all right, Zolak.
That, oh my goodness. Felt good. But I do think that I don't want to prioritize him over Jakobi Meyers because I think that Jakobi Meyers is a better route runner, a more precise player. I like I love a damn underdog every single time. And even though N'Keal Harry, was originally from the island of St. Vincent and not brought here until age 4 by his grandmother in the hopes of a better life, I still would like to see Jakobi Meyers ascend. He was living in the giant shadow of that boring Calvin Harmon for so long.
Okay.
Still, Calvin Harmon. You and your quinoa takes can take a backseat right now. I'm on a roll. Still, I love the opportunity that Harry has here coming off of a big game and a confidence boost. Would you like to say anything, my dear friend? What are you typing?
I just wanted to let you know that Calvin Harmon had 3 catches for 43 yards last week. 5 catches for 53 yards the week prior. 6 targets in each of the last 2 games.
I'm getting the vapors.
PPR magnet.
Heating up.
Oh, man, I hope this Tom's deodorant's working because it is getting warm in here.
Heating up.
Are you and Calvin going to have Thanksgiving together? Or because he's traveling?
He can't make it this year.
I know it's hard.
He can't make it this year. Neither can Duron.
Yeah. Calvin just told Matt to keep the brown rice warm and he'll bring the rest.
I like Sony Michel in this game too, based on the volume that he got last week and how he
really based on the volume.
Actually, what the what the hell? I like him based on the volume he got last week.
Even against this tough run defense.
No, their run
Houston.
Defense sucks. They just got barreled over by damn Jonathan Williams.
Yeah, Jonathan Williams, I mean, that has been a sleeper in the making for years. Where's your scouting report, sir? I'm so tired.
With Isaiah Wynn back, too. Come on, give me a break.
Oh, but that O-line, just having trouble being cohesive. What about the Texan side of things, Matt? One thing.
I'll let you guys know that Liz Loza has picked up a 40-year smoking habit between Halloween and Thanksgiving. Tough scene over here. What did you just ask me about the Vikings and Seahawks?
I said the Texans. Vikings and Seahawks.
Texans,
Texan side of things. I mean, this is a very difficult defense that they are facing, and Deshaun Watson is coming off of a disappointing performance against the true league MVP, though they have been on bye, so they've been able to scheme here. So what's going on? Oh, that's not true. They had Indianapolis on a short week. Yeah. Never mind.
A pseudo bye.
They didn't play on Sunday.
It feels like quite some time. I mean, I think that you're probably playing guys like Hopkins. I don't know. It's going to be tough to sit Fuller after last week's game, but I think you probably do it.
Okay. I have one for you. I mean, I know what is the logical answer, but sometimes in fantasy, especially if you're trying to get into, let's say where you're trying to get into the playoffs, not like you have the asterisk already. Do you play Mecole Hardman or Will Fuller?
Hardman.
Yes. I'm with you.
I was going to say Fuller. When I reared my head back to speak, I thought Fuller was going to come out and say Hardman.
All right. Vikings at Seahawks. Let's go.
End this podcast, please.
Adam Thielen is back practicing.
Woo! You know how that you knew that was going to happen? Josh Doctson was dropped. That's a good sign for Adam Thielen's return.
For all you friends. For all you people who ranked Laquon Treadwell over Josh Doctson, looks like you were right, because Treadwell has outlasted him on his second try with the Vikings.
I mean, no one's got hops like Doctson. Take me back to that combine.
Yeah, sure.
So Vikings at Seahawks.
I think that Stephon Diggs, fire him up, Dalvin Cook, the whole gang. Seahawks defense is not good, despite what the Eagles puked out, blurred out against them last week. On the Seahawks side, I think we got to talk about...
No, we don't.
In Wolf pickups this morning, I said, I don't want to talk about Rashad Penny, but we have to be sheep today and talk about Rashad Penny because you think you got to pick him up or whatever, but I'm not playing.
But why? I mean, you have to pick him up. Why? I don't understand. If you're already in the playoffs, probably your roster is good enough that you don't actually have to pick him up and you're just making moves to make moves because you've been doing it for 12 damn weeks. And also, there's no guarantee that just because Chris Carson fumbled, that Rashad Penny's going to be the guy. He fumbled earlier in the season and that didn't change.
I think it's a speculative ad because he's coming off a big week. I think the Seahawks are, look, our boy Petey said that he might give him some more work. Well, they might split this backfield up. And we know notorious truth teller, Pete Carroll. But yeah. it's also the same logic of why you would have had him on your roster anyways, which is just you're stashing him in case.
So there's
Chris
a difference
Carson...
between stash season Penny and like, wow, there's a sea change Penny.
Yeah, I just think it's like, okay, this was a reminder that you probably want to be having Rashad Penny on your roster. I'm not saying I don't want to play him this week, period. But I want to have him on my roster.
God, the worst would be a situation where there's like a 60-40 timeshare now.
Yeah.
Gross.
Which is quite possible.
And against the Vikings, no thank you.
No thanks.
So I said no thank you, but we are saying, in fact, thank you, because Thanksgiving is all about thanking everyone for all the stuff you're thankful for. And I will say, I am thankful for my amazing co-host. I am thankful for Ragu, whose name I can barely say without stuttering, because he is so damn good at what he does. And I am most thankful to Brett Rader, who puts up with Matt and I every single week. So thank you all.
Thankful for you guys.
Thankful for all you guys, too.
We will be back on Sunday night for a Week 13 recap. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy the games to the best of your ability. Follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @LizLowes_FF. That's @MattHarmon_BYB. And we are out.